Welcome, everyone. We are getting ready to start our conference committee that will produce a omnibus bill that Minnesotans can be proud of. I think we will start because we do have staff that is new, and some of us are new, and we just want to make sure everybody gets introduced. So let's make down one side of the table, back up, and I want also staff over here to introduce themselves. Is that you?
Sure. I'm Brad Hagemeyer with House Fiscal Staff. I'm the new one.
Bobby Liff with House Research.
Colby Sullivan, House Research.
Janelle Taylor, House Research.
Rick Hansen.
Dean Poppy.
Gene Laginius.
David Tomaselli.
Jim Metzen.
That's my committee administrator and my...
Yes, let's give it... Say what you...
Dan Sparks.
Greg Knapp, Senate Counsel, Research and Fiscal Analysis.
Dan Mueller, Senate Fiscal Analyst.
Would you like to introduce yourself, Senator Sykes-Hawk?
Wrong seat. Is this Weston?
Hi. I'm Tom Sachsen from, you telling where you're from?
Okay.
That's good.
We always talk too much.
Okay. Yes.
Super. I think we'll just get right to...
Michael Arendt's committee page for the Senate.
Oh, good. Purple Risen isn't that good. Did we miss anybody else?
We did, but they're not here.
So we can do the audience.
I don't think so. What we're going to do today is to start looking at the side-by-side, and I believe that we're going to start with agriculture. And Colby Sullivan, we will run until 4 o'clock, and if we do not... finish today, which I suspect we won't. We will meet again tomorrow under the watchful eye of my Senator Tomasoni. And
maybe, Madam Chair, that have the gavel while we're doing side by side, and then you give it to me.
Oh yeah.
As we go through this, I will recognize members for questions because it does seem that our bills are different enough that it's important that we each understand the other bill and understand it well before we have an opportunity to make amendments or even judgments about which amendments need to be offered. So if members do have questions along the way for clarification, for understanding, for whatever, please let me know, and we will take those questions as we go. And with that, Mr. Sullivan, want to start us off?
Madam Chair and members, would you like me to go through the side-by-side for the appropriations for agriculture or only the policy provisions?
I think we need to do both. Now, would you want to do – how do you want to handle that? It's up to you.
Madam Chair, would you like me to go through the spreadsheet, start on the spreadsheet first? Or would you like to go through the bill first? We could do either.
I think we would – let's compartmentalize and do agriculture – finish agriculture, then go to the next, rather than jumping back and forth. Is that suitable for members, rather than?
Madam Chair, I'm just thinking he's asking, do you want to do, like, Article 2, the policy first, and then you want to go into finance later? If I'm understanding the question, I think that that's what they're trying to get at, is policy and finance questions.
What would you suggest?
Right. That's what he's asking.
Do you have a preference? Then let's do the the spreadsheet first for agriculture, then we'll do the policy for agriculture, and we'll take it that way rather than keeping it together. I think will make more sense.
Okay, Madam Chair, there's, I think most members might have my detailed spreadsheet as well, but we will be working off this spreadsheet today right here that everyone has.
Seven.
You can see it'll be page six in here. Well, is where agriculture starts. And if you want, I can just go through the general fund changes, or we have all the changes here. For the Department of Agriculture, the governor proposed an increase of $335,000 per year for lab operations. The House proposed has $245,000 from the general fund for the same purpose, and they added $90,000 from the ag fund for that.
And I think we're going to have to slow you down for a minute and give us an exact spot where you are.
Sure. Yep, it's page six, and that would be line 295. In the bottom center, there should be numbers for each.
And there are changes in other funds besides the general fund. So
yep, and how this spreadsheet, was prepared by Dan Miller, and it has the general fund first, and then the ag fund is underneath that for this particular agency, and other agencies are set up similar. All right, is everyone ready now? Okay, so the governor proposed an increase of $335,000 per year for lab operations, and that was from the general fund. The House has $245,000 of general fund for that, and then $90,000 of ag fund, and the $90,000 can be found on line 316. And the Senate has carried the same $335,000 of general fund for that. And that was the only general fund change that the governor proposed. The House has language to has appropriations of $225,000 per year. This is on line 297. $225,000 per year of general fund to increase food handler inspections. And the governor and Senate did not have that language. The House is also has $25,000 per year for commercial animal waste training manuals. And the governor and Senate did not have that language. The House also has $90,000 in additional new money of general fund for sustainable ag demonstration grants. And governor and Senate do not have that language. The Senate has made adjustments to the agri appropriations.
Excuse me. There's a question from Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Brad, on line 297, the commercial animal waste in the general fund, I think we had picked up some additional dollars there that was in the governor's request for Clean Water Legacy. And because there had been this had been paid for previously by general fund, so we wouldn't have a substitution problem. We have the $25K coming from the general fund, and then the additional new, the revisions and the new printing would be paid for by the Clean Water Fund. Is that your understanding of it?
I believe that was the intent when this was put in to include funding in this bill so that more funding could be provided in the legacy bill in the House.
It shows a continuing debate.
There was a clear action fees too that it may not.
I think Representative Poppy can actually clarify that because that was
that is true. Based on the fact that there was extra money in the budget that they wanted increased food handler inspections, and it is to continue funding what they had begun.
Okay.
That was $500,000 each year. No, $500,000 that we got extra in the budget.
And Madam Chair, yes, and thank you, Representative Poppy, and I guess if the department just at some point in time would like to go and put that on the record for the conference committee as well. Thank you.
We will ask the department to do that.
Madam Chair, members, as I was saying, the Senate made some adjustments to the AGRI program. As you can see on line 299, there is an adjustment in the first year of $3,735,000. That was a reduction, and then 2.535 in the second year. And then some of that money was specified right below that on lines 301 and continue down. They provide $500,000 per year for the Agriculture Utilization and Research Institute. There's $500,000 per year for MLC Farm Business Management. There's $100,000 per year for the U of M Extension Service for 4-H, and $100,000 per year for the Minnesota FFA Association, and then $500,000 per year for the County Ag Societies. And I'm saying per year, and that's for the first biennium only. Those don't continue in the base. And then in the first year, there's $200,000 for agriculture microloan program and $1 million for a Morris Ag Facility Energy Efficiency Grant. And then after that, on line 308, you'll see the House
just,
has...
Yep. We're going to have a question from Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And clarification, the County Ag Societies are the county fairs?
Yes.
Yes.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so these appropriations, are they on top of what they've received in the past, or is there base funding for some of these entities and then this is additional agri, or are there not any base funding for these and this is their only funding they would be receiving?
Representative Hanson, I believe, or Madam Speaker, Representative Hanson, the current base for AGRI is a set amount with no specifications of what it's being used for of $10,235,000. Is that
what you're asking? Is that,
yeah.
Or are you getting base funding? Farm business man. Program with me. Management and industry, when I got to this, because apparently no budget for it. Let's see here. The forest facility is.
A one-time deposit into the revolving loan account.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in the like the County Ag Societies, right now on the whole Senate budget, this is the only money that they're getting right now. They've received money from the legacy.
They have a base.
Yeah, County Ag Societies. Yeah. Not for County Fairs.
Not for, yeah, for County Fairs.
There was a question, I guess.
Yeah.
Not for the same purpose.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd never seen it. Yeah.
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 Sure, yes, it is.
Well, they're all really good.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Coming from the Ag.
I think it's, go ahead.
And this money.
And on that point of it ending the ethanol subsidies, because we passed the bill with 69 votes in the House, and we have some members who have asked questions about the ethanol. So the Morris Ag ethanol one, maybe now is not the time. But I'd like to hear a little more about that, because that could be a challenge when we bring that back.
We will keep a list of those kinds of things to make sure that after we go through the side-by-side, it would be good to bring up folks to talk about some of the underlying statutes. I think the agri statute would be something that would be important to review at when we come back together at some point. So if we can keep a list of those things, that would be helpful. Any other questions before we go on?
Madam Chair, members, maybe I can clarify that a little bit better for Representative Hansen's question. And thanks, Mr. Sullivan, for pointing where it was in the bill. On page, on Article 1, page R14 of the side-by-side, so on the side-by-side, you can see the base funding for the county ag societies is $474,000 per year. And that's both, that's found in both the House and the Senate bill. So the county ag societies have a general fund base in that place, but it also has additional $500,000 in the Senate version through the Agri Fund, if that helps clarify your question at all. And then I'll continue on the spreadsheet. The next line, which would be line 308 on page 6 again, would be the House base adjustments, and it comes to $107,000 the first year and $217,000 the second year. That is not in the governor's or the Senate's bill. And then the last change for the general fund would be in the Senate bill. There is an additional $500,000 per year for Second Harvest Heartland, which is milk grants, I believe. And they currently receive $500,000 per year. So this would be on top of that.
I think it would be important because we're going to see this adjustment to base from the House as we go through all of this. So for the senators to understand what the adjustment to base what number we were using to adjust the base would be important.
Do you mean you would
1%?
Oh, the 1%. It's based off of, I believe, payroll expenditures. I don't know what the number is for that.
Okay.
Offhand, I can find it for the members if you'd like.
Well, I just think explaining what the number we're carrying is would
okay.
be.
It was the House for all of our committees, all the divisions have proposed 1% base adjustment. So it's 1% the first year and then an additional 1% the second year. So it's 1% compounded the second year. And that's how we come to that $107,000 and $217,000.
So you will see that repeated through here. So it's just good to have that clarified as we go. You want to go ahead?
And then for total general fund changes, you can see that the governor's budget increased the general fund from base by $670,000. The House for the first 2 years has an increase of just under $1.5 million. And the Senate has kept the same base from the February, or has changed things around, but it has the same base number. Would you like me to continue to the Ag Fund? Okay. The first change item on the Ag Fund, line 314, was the governor's proposal for a commercial animal waste technician license change. You'll also see that in the fees when we discuss those in a little bit. But the increased fee would be $36,000 the first year and $38,000 the second year. And that's carried in the governor's budget, the House, and the Senate version. The next line would be line 315. There's pesticide education and training update. And the Senate has provided $100,000 per year for that. And the governor and House do not have any language for that. As I mentioned earlier, the lab services division increase of $90,000, which goes with the 245 of general fund to get to the same number that the governor and the Senate have. And then line 317, the commercial animal waste training manuals. The House has $100,000 per year from the Ag Fund, and the governor and Senate do not carry language for that or money for that. And then monitoring pesticides and pesticide degradants. We have the House has $100,000 the first and second year. It does not continue on beyond that from the Ag Fund. And the governor and Senate do not have that. And then there's also $150,000 per year for the first 2 years from in the House bill for pollinator habitat restoration. And as I mentioned, the commercial animal waste technician was a fee. And that's the only fee revenue change that we have in the Department of Agriculture area. Is there any questions you need, any more further information on that, or can I go to the Board of Animal Health?
Representative Hansen has a question, then Senator Zaxog.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think you may want to check that pesticide education and training update, because I think we carried that in the House, the dollars there as well. We had the language and we had the money. I think it's in both.
It I will check into it. I don't know if it was new money or not, but I will check into that.
Senator Sachs.
Madam Chair, pollinator habitat restoration, is that honeybee habitat or what is that?
Well, I think we'll, that is all pollinators, both honeybee.
Okay.
And native, the rest of the native pollinator. So
that's kind of on the right track, isn't it?
You want to finish up with agriculture?
Sure. Madam Chair, the next up would be the Board of Animal Health. And the only change was that base adjustment that the House has in there, and it's $32,000 the first year and $64,000 the second year. There's no changes for the governor or the Senate. And the governor, the House, and the Senate all have the same numbers for AURI, Agriculture Utilization Research Institute. I don't know if maybe Mr. Bueller has anything to add to the...
See any questions, so I think we can go on to Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair and members, I'll go through the side-by-side for the agriculture policy provisions. I believe it's the second tab in your binders. It's titled Ag Policy at the top.
You should go through the riders.
Spreadsheet doesn't have all the riders.
Well, there's other stuff.
Madam Chair, members, I was thinking it'd be good to go through this. Since you've been through the spreadsheet, it might be good to see where some of the riders are, some of the questions that Representative Hansen had and things like that. I think we can go, Mr. Sullivan can go through those pretty quick and before you go on to the policy language.
That's fine.
Madam Chair and members, then we'll go back to the first side-by-side ag appropriations. See Article 1 on the House side and Article 3 on the Senate. You can see the numbers are different, of course. Mr. Hagemeyer discussed the differences. If you move to the second page, you'll see on line 3.8 of the House side, the increased money coming from the agricultural fund that he also discussed. If you move on to page R3, you see again that the House has an appropriation from the agricultural fund on line 3.17 for protection services. And those unique riders for the House show up beginning on the bottom of R3, 4.7 through 4.9. That's the increased food handler inspection money. On to R4, that the House has $25,000 per year for the license related to commercial manure applicators. The riders on 4.17 to 4.20, that allows the department to spend up to $10,000 of the appropriation for protection services to administer the agricultural water quality certification program, which is included in the House bill. 4.21 through 4.26 is $90,000 per year from the Ag Fund to go to the operating budget for the lab services division to pay for a portion of the increased certification requested by the governor in the department's proposal.
Excuse me, just a moment. Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, Mr. Sullivan, that number was calculated out based on the proportion of work that the lab does.
Madam Chair and Representative Hansen, that's correct. I don't recall the exact percentage now. I think it was around 25%. So if you add the $90,000 per year on 4.22 to the $245 per year from the general fund on 4.13, you arrive at the $335,000 per year, which shows up on the Senate language, 80.3 to 80.6. The discussion during the side-by-side, the discussion of the spreadsheet was about the $100,000 per year from the pesticide regulatory account to update and modify pesticide applicator education and training materials. You'll see the difference between the House and Senate. This is on the bottom of R4. The House appropriates $100,000 per year for that purpose and requires two reports. The Senate requires the same update and similar, if not the same, reports, but the Commissioner of Agriculture would do the updating out of existing resources, and there wouldn't be an additional appropriation as in the House language.
We have two. Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair and Mr. Sullivan, the you'll see in the spreadsheet that we carry this as a statutory appropriation, so that I'm not sure why in the House they thought that 18B.05 doesn't cover this, because in the Senate we feel that 18B.05 says basically to spend for administrating the chapter, and so we carried it as a statutory appropriation because the department is given authority to spend anything out of that account under that chapter, and this report and these provisions are under that chapter, so we saw no need in a direct appropriation. So there's additional money for it. It's just that we don't care to the direct.
Senator Hansen, did you have a question, too?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think sometime we should have the department during this process talk about how much is in the fund so we can kind of track that. I think it'd be a good summary.
We will do that. We are keeping a list over here, and that will be another thing that we will ask.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and that was part of my question as well, too, because to my understanding, that fund has built up a sizable balance, and I'm not certain whether or not the department has felt the authority to go and move some of those dollars there. If they have had that authority, questions perhaps to be asked is, why has that fund grown to the level it has, and why hasn't those resources been used in an appropriate manner when we've had some significant shortfalls in the past? And so it just it kind of begs some questions that I think we do have to have answered, because we typically don't have sizable balances like that just sitting around, specifically when we've gone through the very difficult budgetary circumstances of the last couple bienniums.
Madam Chair, if I just make one quick comment. If you track the price of pesticides in recent years, you'd see why. It's grown dramatically because of the price of pesticides, and since we charge a sales tax on it.
Well, and to that point, I mean, as a person who actually does once in a while buy pesticides for agricultural use, I'm well aware of that.
I'm sure you are.
Then we will have a discussion as we bring that up of why they're then carrying a flat with no increase in the account. So that is one of the things we will bring up as we go through this. Any other questions before we go on?
Madam Chair and members, then picking up on page R5, still within the Protection Services Division of the Department of Agriculture, see the House-only riders on the top of R5 appropriating $100,000 each year from the pesticide regulatory account to monitor pesticides and pesticide degradants in surface water and groundwater. The final rider there, $150,000 per year from the pesticide regulatory account for a transfer to the Commissioner of Natural Resources for pollinator habitat restoration. Then on the bottom of R5, the riders are the same for the Agricultural Marketing and Development Division within the Department of Ag. But on R6, you'll see language that's unique on both bills. The House has $190,000 each year appropriated for demonstration projects for sustainable agriculture. And the Senate has $100,000 each year for the licensed education professional for the agriculture and the classroom program.
Madam Chair, could I just mention something on the Senate side? I want to make sure we're clear on this. We don't carry the sustainable agriculture money here. There was no money in the base. Apparently, the House added to the base for that. It was our understanding that the department was going to be using the agri money for that program, so we made it clear. You'll see later on a rider that makes it clear that you can use agri money for the sustainable agriculture grant program. So I just want to make sure that the Senate does have something on that. It just doesn't show up here.
I think this is the House says something more.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I was curious about the ag education professional. I thought that previously that had been in the base funding, so I'm curious as to why they mean the specific rider language is continued here.
Madam Chair, Representative Falk, the Senate decided to carry the base rider, the same rider we had in 2 years ago. And it's the money's in both sides. It's just we have a rider in for it.
Madam Chair and members, then moving on to page R7, you'll see that the House and Senate both have an appropriation for cost share payments for organic certification. The difference is on the first two lines. The House language authorizes the Commissioner of Agriculture to spend funds appropriated under this subdivision, which is Ag Marketing and Development, for that purpose. The Senate has $10,000 each year designated for that program. And the on House side, lines 7.10 through 7.13, it authorizes the Department of Agriculture to spend $25,000 each year for pollinator habitat, education, and outreach. Bottom of R7 begins the bioenergy and value-added agriculture appropriations. Let's move on to page R8. We talked a bit during the spreadsheet discussion about the different approaches that the House and Senate took to the agri program and to specifying other uses for the appropriation under this subdivision. I won't talk about those further unless members have questions or anyone would like to speak to it. So that continues.
Excuse me, Representative Hansen does have a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think this is something where if we have the department just for later on, whenever we get to these things, to explain kind of the purpose and the original intent or what the statutory ideas were for this. So.
Thank you. We're keeping a list.
So the agri and bioenergy and value-added agriculture appropriations continue on page R9, R10, R11, through R12.
Yes, excuse me.
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, Senator Thomas-Loney, I can do that. If you look at the top of page R9, you'll see that we've got this agricultural microloan program that was passed last year. What this says is that they can use money. Right now, they get low-interest loans through the RFA for the microloan program, and this says that they can that we can use Agri for additional assistance. And then on page R10, we're pretty much the same there, a little different dates reports, for the grantee reports. And then this is where, on the top of page R11, this is where I mentioned earlier that money may be used for sustainable agriculture grants. We've used agri money for that. And then we have the list of the items that you saw on the spreadsheet. This is starts on 83.10. We're notwithstanding Minnesota Statutes 41A.12, subdivision 3. We're spending $2.9 million the first year and $1.7 million on these items, and you've got I won't go through each item. You saw them on each of the
through each item?
Okay, sorry. Madam Chair, Senator Thomas-Loney, I'll do that. On 83.15, you see the money for the AURI. On 83.17, this is for MILSI, to assist with farm business management programs among the members of MILSI. Then the money for the Minnesota Extension service for 4-H on 83.24, 83.27. You've got the $100,000 for the FFA Association grants. And on number 5 there, that's $200,000. There's a Rural Finance Revolving Authority revolving account. And last year, some money was moved over to that account. This would put some additional money for loans for the pilot agricultural microloan program. And then, Madam Chair, number 6 is the money for county fairs. Now, this is a little bit different than you'll see in the base rider later that was mentioned for county fairs. This is to enhance art access and education and preserve and promote history and cultural heritage. And you'll see the base one, it's more formula based on blue ribbons that are issued by the county fair for the other one. And then, Madam Chair, if you look at the top of page R12, you'll see the money for the city of Morris for loans to the ag processing facilities, and then there's some additional restrictions on those loans or grants on 84.10 to 84.19. And then also there's a base reduction to the agri program, and that's partially because of some of the money that was moved to take care of some other needs in the department area, so the base is being reduced as part of that rider. Mr. Chair, I think I'll pass it on to the, or Madam Chair, excuse me, that's Mr. Sullivan.
Representative Paul.
Thank you. Just so I heard that correctly, is it a loan or a grant? Because I think it says grant to the city of Morris. It's not a loan.
Well, Madam Chair, it says it's a grant to the City of Morris, but it's for loans or grants to the processing facility, so they can decide if it's a loan or grant. And these are additional restrictions on the facility itself for the loan or grant. That's what I was referring to.
So we don't know if the city would actually make a loan or a grant?
Madam Chair, this is the way the bill came into committee. I think they wanted some flexibility. If I had to guess, I'd probably guess a grant, but it does say loan or grant.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Knopf, I'm looking on R9. So that provision is just kind of the allowance statutory language, the may be used. And then the RFA is the 83.29 on. So is that the last year they had the bioenergy leftover money, and has that been used up, and then this is on top of that?
Madam Chair and Representative Hansen, I can't tell you. I mean, you'd have to talk to fiscal staff from the House, or excuse me, not from the House, from the department to make sure whether or not the money's been used up. But it was a small amount of money that was transferred from an agroforestry loan program. It was $100,000 or $200,000 that was transferred. And this would be money on the writer on R9 would say that you can also provide additional assistance beyond the loan, you know, maybe a grant or whatever, you know, through the Agri program. And then the money that is on page R11, that would actually be a couple hundred thousand additional to what was transferred last year for that program.
Madam Chair and members, then I'll pick up on the final subdivision appropriation for the Department of Agriculture on page R12. That's the administration and financial assistance appropriation. You'll see the pass-through grants that the Department of Agriculture is directed to award in this section for this subdivision in both bills. The language is virtually the same, except as discussed during the spreadsheet summary on page R15. The Senate has twice as much money appropriated for the Second Harvest Heartland food shelf milk grant program. Language then through R16, the rest of the Department of Agriculture, there are some minor technical differences there that aren't substantive, and the Board of Animal Health and AURI language you'll see then on the bottom of R16, the House rider that came from the governor's budget request that the Senate does not for AURI.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Sullivan, it's my understanding that was by mistake, the rider, but it was not, we didn't have the rider in 2 years ago. I think we had it in 4 years ago, and somebody put it in. It's my understanding that there were some additional riders that they put into by mistake in MMB. So that was my understanding of what happened. So we just took the rider out.
Madam Chair and members, we had the same message in the House, but the amendment request was specific to the riders for the Board of Animal Health and not to AURI. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's the same issue there. But I know we were directed just to take out the Board of Animal Health riders. That's the end of the side-by-side ag appropriations, the first tab in your binders. If we want to move to the second tab in the ag policy comparison. That's Article 2 and several articles from Article 2 of the House bill, several from the Senate. And you'll see Article 3 at the top of page R1 of the Ag Policy side-by-side. The two sections that appear here were from the governor's budget request. They deal with how the Department of Agriculture may spend certain federal and promotional and marketing dollars. Bottom of R1 begins a section from the governor's policy bill. It's technical in nature. It eliminates the definition of qualifying period from the statute for the Livestock Investment Grant Program. That's the same in both. You'll see on R3 the beginning of House-only language. This is was a part of the governor's policy bill creating the Agricultural Water Quality Certification Program. The language was amended by the House, but that was the origin of the language, and you see that on pages R3, R4, R5, R6, and about halfway down R7. And continuing on R7, you'll see the same, or virtually the same, with technical differences on the bottom of R7. These were part of the governor's policy bill. They have to do with the noxious weed law. That continues on to page R8, where, again, there are technical differences, but otherwise I believe the substance is essentially the same. The noxious weed language continues on to R9. All of the sections there are also changes to the noxious weed law, as is R10. There are additional technical differences here, but otherwise you see essentially the same language on both sides that both the House and the Senate picked up from the department's policy bill. That continues then about third of the way down on R11. Four, there's bulk pesticide storage facility. That's language also that the department requested. It's the same on the House and Senate sides. And you'll see what I believe are two approaches to the same thing then on the bottom of R11. This was requested also by the department. It's to sort of take a timeout on data collection for the waste pesticide collection program. You see just that the House picked up the department's language to put it in statute. The Senate has it as uncodified language, which to me makes sense because it's a temporary piece of legislation. So that continues down through 24.32 on page R12 of the House side, where then again we pick up pesticide language that there are some differences here between the House and Senate. These also originated in the department's policy bill. You'll see on section 29 of the House side, pesticide storage safeguards, that the House has the governor's language that the pesticides may not be stored in any location with an open drain. And the Senate language straight across there says pesticides may not be stored in the immediate area of an open drain unless a safeguard is provided. So that's a difference for members of the conference committee. So, similarly, section 30 below that on the House side and section 4 of the Senate side are different. Both originated in the governor's bill, but both bodies made some changes that don't line up at this point. The same is true on the top of R13. We're still talking about pesticide handling laws. You'll see that the House, I think, could change the language that was originally proposed in the department's policy bill, and the Senate changed it significantly by, it appears, leaving current law in place but changing the heading for that section of law. On the bottom of R13, this is in language requested by the department. It's the same. It has to do with collection of the pesticide gross sales fee. And R14, it's a continuation of that same section, so you can skip to R15. Midway down is still the gross pesticide change. That's the same on both sides. On R15, then, section 33 on the House side, pesticide education and training, and section 8 on the Senate side, these are the provisions that were discussed earlier, directing the Department of Agriculture to update pesticide applicator education and training materials. This was House File 151 in the House, Representative Hansen's bill, and I believe Senate File 550 in the Senate. The language is virtually the same. In my opinion, there are some technical differences drafting-wise, but I believe the substance is the same. That continues on to R16, about halfway down. We see the requirement sections. Those are exactly the same, as are all of the language on R17. These are changes to how the laws that require the collection of the gross pesticide sales fee. These were requested by the department. So that's the bottom of R16 and all of R17. Those are the same. R18 is also all the same. It's a continuation of pesticide language down through 31.7 on the House side, 9.21 on the Senate. Then the final section on R18 is the changes to the Commercial Animal Waste Technician Program. These were changes that were part of the governor's budget proposal. These are the corresponding statutory changes to change the licensing structure and fees. Those continue on to R19, where there's a small technical difference. Otherwise, the House and Senate have the same language. And on R20, that's, again, commercial animal waste technician language, which is the same as proposed by the department. And then we finish up with the commercial animal waste technician on the top of R21, with a requirement on both sides. Those are the same. As is the next section on R21, Commissioner's Duties. These are changes to the Organic Advisory Task Force that were requested in the Governor's Policy Bill. That section continues on to R22, small technical difference. So moving on to R23, you'll see the first two sections of both bills would modify the existing ethanol use mandate, creating instead a biofuel use mandate. First two sections, and this language is split up a bit, the first two sections of the biofuel mandate are on the top of R23, cellulosic biofuel production goal, which is modified from an ethanol, cellulosic ethanol goal, broadened to a biofuel goal consistent with the other changes that are in both bills. And then both the House and the Senate set that cellulosic biofuel production goal to expire in 2015, which is the goal date for the goal that's currently in statute. You'll see some differences on R23 then in Section 45 of the House side definitions, Section 3 of the Senate side. These sections essentially direct the state's NextGen Energy Board to examine not just biofuels and bioenergy, but also bio-based materials and the opportunity to produce those materials in the state. The House and Senate have different language. You can see under the definitions, House has two definitions, the Senate has one, but maybe more significantly, the House and Senate have different bio-based percentage requirements for what would qualify as bio-based material. So that's a difference to note.
That's a big difference. Right?
Continuing down R23, that those are additional changes corresponding with broadening the NextGen Energy Board's jurisdiction to include bio-based materials. There are some technical differences that correspond with the House and Senate definitions sections. At the end of R23, the top of R24 is the change to the NextGen Energy Board. And then you'll see Section 47 on the House side, expiration, Section 15 on the Senate side, page R24. Both bodies extend the sunset date for the NextGen Energy Board by a year to June 30th, 2015. And then on R24, you'll see Senate-only language, Section 16, Subdivision 3 oversight. That has to do with NextGen Energy Board reporting, if I'm not mistaken.
Madam Chair, Mr. Sullivan, this is the agri reporting for the agri program. If you look above in the current law, where it says commissioner in consultation with the chairs, maybe the chairs of this conference committee, they're basically allocating the available funds. And there was some concern in the Senate side that we get a report back to other members on the funds. And this just matches with the NextGen report. There's a statutory NextGen report of February 1 each year to the legislature. And so this would just allow the department as part of the NextGen report to also report the AGRA allocations.
Madam Chair and members, thanks for that clarification. On R24, then, the bottom two sections are the same, then, grant awards. Grant awards has to do with, again, the AGRI program, setting the terms for the grants that can be awarded pursuant to that program. Then the bottom, the restructured loan agreement, that's a change requested by the department to allow the Rural Finance Authority to assess a prepayment penalty fee for the restructured loan agreement program. Then Section 50, I believe.
Excuse me. Representative Falk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Knopf, the AGRI report language there, I believe that's fairly similar to what we had in the House language back, but it was in the appropriation section on R10. And there it says, no later than February 1st, 2014 and February 1st, 2015, the commissioner shall report on the projects funded under this application, or excuse me, appropriation to the legislative committees with jurisdiction over agriculture policy and finance. So I believe that we actually have that same language, but you actually just
Madam
finance.
Chair, Representative Falk, yes, I should have pointed that out when I mentioned it. Thank you for doing that. You do have language. Yours is in the rider. It applies to the next 2 years. This would be ongoing within the statute as long as the statute continued. It's two different approaches to kind of getting at the same thing. Although you specify committees, we say the legislature. Again, you also have the NextGen report. I think we have the same thing, but then there's a statutory report. At some point, we should probably, Mr. Sullivan and I should figure out exactly where people want these reports to go and how we want to do it. But there are a couple of different approaches. You're right. Yeah.
Madam Chair and members, then picking up again on R25, Section 50 on the House side, expiration, Section 19 on the Senate. These are the same. Both the House and the Senate extend the expiration of the Minnesota Agriculture Education Leadership Council by 5 years to June 30th, 2018. And then the final section on R25, Section 51 on the House, Section 5 on the Senate, definitions. This is actually a workforce development statute. Because the House and the Senate bills both modify the ethanol mandate and associated petroleum replacement goal, there needed to be a corresponding change. This section, I believe it directs the Department of Employment and Economic Development and the Job Skills Partnership to provide training opportunities for the green economy, which includes increased use of biofuels. So you'll see the same language in the House and Senate on R26. Correcting the reference there. Actually, I don't believe there is a Biofuels 25 by 2025 initiative, so that language is stricken, and in its place is the petroleum replacement goal, which is modified later in both bills. Section 52 starts on R26, but the bulk of it is on R27. This is a House-only provision. It modifies a law that's commonly referred to as a by-the-farm law that allows farmers and some other residents to require a utility to purchase land if the utility is routing a high-voltage transmission line through the farmer or certain other landowner's property. That continues on to the top of R28. That's the effective date for the by-the-farm changes.
Excuse me, yes.
Talk to me a little bit. Or about that eminent domain. Give the owner a second bite of the apple. Say you have to buy more land than
the Senate bill. To be for the judiciary.
Pretty much the same
except for this part right here.
How does it work?
Madam Chair and Senator Metzen, if I may, I'd like to defer to my colleague to my right, Bob Eliff, to answer your questions on this provision.
Madam Chair and Senator Metzen, the current law allows a landowner whose land is being condemned and acquired for the transmission line to, under certain conditions, require the acquiring entity to acquire land in any amount of contiguous land in addition to that actually required for the construction of the transmission line, up to and including the entire property. The language in this provision makes certain changes in that law, I'd say three major changes. One, it changes the exact conditions under which a landowner may elect to invoke this by the farm provision. Second, it sets timelines for a utility to act if a landowner elects to have the transmission line owner purchase additional land. And third, requires a little bit of history. Back in 2010, the legislature made some changes in Chapter 117, which is where most of eminent domain law resides in Minnesota, that applied certain provisions of that chapter to what were called public service corporations, which include transmission line owners. Those provisions, those public service corporations had previously been exempted from. These govern things such as compensation for attorney's fees, loss of an ongoing business concern, relocation and appraisals. This language specifies that land that is acquired and purchased under this by the farm provision also is subject to those changes.
So if you're condemning, for example, 4 acres for the power line or whatever it might be, you may be compelled to buy the whole farm.
Senator Metzen, that's true under current law.
How are you doing this, sir?
This is making some changes to that current law.
I'm not sure. I think it's general smart. Condemn a strip of land. 4 acres. It's in current law.
Madam Chair, Senator Metzen, yes, it's been in current law since 1977.
question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And kind of following up with Senator Metzen said, and I know we'll be back to revisit this, but I think, I don't know, I mean, obviously we talked about some eminent domain, so I assume it has some judiciary issues. And I believe in the past, hasn't this been also a transmission under the jurisdiction of Energy Committee?
Madam Chair, Senator Sparks, this bill was originally sent to the Energy Policy Committee, which it passed. It also was sent to the Government Operations, Civil Law, and Judiciary Finance and Policy. It passed through all those committees in the House.
Madam Chair, can we just – what happened on the Senate side? Do we know?
Yeah. Madam Chair, Senator Sparks, the bill in the Senate was referred to Environment and Energy and was passed and amended and re-referred to Judiciary, but I don't believe any action has been taken.
Madam Chair, there was not a hearing in Judiciary on the bill.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Senator Metzen.
Does that make sense?
Okay, I'm the utility company. I take 4 acres of your land. Now I got to buy your whole farm. The utility, I don't. Okay, right? Corporate farm. Who gets that? Then.
Madam Chair, Senator Metzen, my assumption is that the utility company would attempt to sell the land.
Or lease it.
Or back to the rent. Yeah, they just took it. That's my question.
Senator Westrom, did you have a question here?
Madam Chair, I was just going to add some observation, but I think it's mostly been covered here. I'll talk with Senator Metzen a little more, but this is one of the new power lines is coming right through my district, and there's others, Senator Dahl and others that have power lines. But the By the Farm was put in back in the 70s. When the last big transmission line through, there's some of that later. Or Mr. Eloff said one of the provisions is just that there's a timeline that says if you're going to do it, then meet these timelines. I think they're absent from statutes, so then nobody knows how this or that. So.
Madam Chair and Senator Tomassoni, what I mentioned about the provisions in the House language that make a transmission line owner subject to transmission line owner purchasing land under the By the Farm law being subject to the changes that were made in 2010, some of which refer to relocation benefits. As a result, I think the answer to your question is yes.
Are there other questions on that issue? Okay, I don't see any.
Madam Chair and members, then, picking up on page R28, Senate side, section 20, Board of Directors. These are modifications to the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute's board. As defined in statute, it would increase the number of representatives from commodity promotion councils, and I believe then limit a board member's term to no more than 4 consecutive terms.
I'm sure for that, Mr. Sullivan, that's correct.
Then on page R28, you'll see the House and Senate have the same language requiring bonding for grain operators. Those were both requested by the Department of Agriculture in the governor's policy bill. Those are section 53 and section 54 on the House side, and corresponding language on the Senate. And then at the bottom of R28, you see we resume language that has to do with changing the ethanol mandate currently in law to a more broadly defined biofuel mandate. And as part of doing that, both the House and the Senate proposed new definitions for advanced biofuel. And then on to R29, also for biofuel generally and for conventional biofuel. There's a technical difference in the definition of biofuel. Other than that, the language appears to be the same. Senate has an additional conforming section that I think is necessary. That's section 9 on R29. That's an additional change to the Department of Commerce weights and measures statutes that has to do with blending gasoline with oxygenates. I believe the Senate language just conforms to changes elsewhere in both bills, moving from an ethanol to a biofuel mandate. Bottom of R29, then, this is actually the meat of the ethanol, now biofuel mandate, R29. The language is the same. The language on R30, then, is a continuation. There's a technical difference, references between the House and Senate side. Other than that, the language is the same. You'll see that essentially a person responsible for transportation fuels in the state would be able to blend the greater of 10% ethanol or a higher blend of conventional ethanol, I should say, which is corn-based ethanol, or a higher level approved by the EPA for use in all motor vehicles. Currently, that still would be E10. Or now there would be an option instead to use 10% of another biofuel that's not a conventional biofuel, which is corn-based ethanol, but only once that fuel is authorized for sale in the U.S. market by the United States Environmental Protection Agency. And I won't go through it anymore unless members have questions, because the House and Senate have the same provisions, essentially. The language continues then. Additional changes required for the mandate modification are on R31. Again, there are differences, technical differences, but otherwise the substance is the same. On to R32. You see, this is actually the bottom of R31 is the petroleum replacement goal just earlier when it was referenced for course development. You see that there already is a petroleum replacement goal for the state of Minnesota. It's modified for the recommendations of the Biofuels Task Force that the legislature created and required to report back last session. It was created last session. The report came in prior to this legislative session, and the changes that you see throughout here reflect the changes recommended by that task force. The House creates a formal task force pursuant to a section of law. Senate retains sort of the existing protocol, which is that representatives who have knowledge in this area advise the commissioners of Agriculture, Commerce, and PCA on how the state can achieve the petroleum replacement goals that are included in statute. So then moving on to R33, this is additional language that came along with the modification of the ethanol mandate. It's a new definition in the motor fuels tax statute for biobutanol. This language was recommended by staff of the Department of Commerce. There are technical differences between the House and the Senate. 34 are the final differences for conferees to note. Both bodies modified the existing definition of the motor fuel E85 in the motor fuels tax law. The change initially was requested by the Department of Agriculture. I believe the similar changes in
we had this
one or both tax bills and the Department of Commerce's weights and measures modification bill. You see that the need for this is that the ASTM specification for E85 changed. So you see that the significant difference on the Senate side, as I read it, is that E85 would now be defined as a blend of ethanol and gasoline that contains not more than 85% ethanol, but the minimum and the BTU assumption that's currently in law would be removed.
Madam Chair, to that point, we had the House language originally, and we're asked to change it to this definition of E85. And in fact, there's a Department of Commerce policy kind of technical bill going through. The House has it on the floor, the Senate has it on the floor, and it has this. I think it matches exactly with what the Senate provision is in here. But both sides have that provision, if I remember right.
Yeah. Madam Chair, members, yeah, I know it is in multiple bills in the House. It's been an effort to coordinate all three so that they say the same thing. And then finally, the other significant difference to know is both bodies extend the Farmer Lender Mediation Act. That's Section 1 on the House side and Section 24, because it's actually House File 251 which passed the House separately early in the session. The House would push out the expiration of the Farmer Lender Mediation Act by 4 years to June 30th, 2017, and the Senate would extend it by 2 years to June 30th, 2015. The remainder of the page, the reviser's instruction, and the repealers are all the same. And that's the end of the ag policy side-by-side document.
Senator Hansen had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to go back to R28. The AURI Board of Directors, maybe the senators could explain that, or it seems to be kind of prescriptive in terms of maybe dealing with a person. Seems a bit unusual. So was there a bill on this, or what's the history and what's the intent of this provision?
Senator Schwartz.
Madam Chair, and I'm trying to remember, I believe that during the floor debate, this was a Senator Scoy amendment that was added on the floor to the ag policy bill.
Jim Hansen.
Madam Chair, so Senator Sparks, there wasn't a bill, or was there a House bill? Is there any equivalent bill?
I am not aware of one.
Madam Chair, I believe that Senator Scoy brought this up when we had testimony in front of Senator Tomasoni's ag environment economic development bill. We had some discussion there. I don't know if there was an actual bill on it. I know that it was offered as an amendment on the Senate floor.
Madam Chair and Senator Tomasoni, it looks like it's dealing with a person maybe on the board now.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I serve on the board of AURI, and no one brought this to my attention. And I mean, just as you know, the House member that serves, I know there's a senator that serves there as well. Kind of would assume that I would have been made aware of it. But yeah, I'd like to understand, you know, if there was testimony in the Senate, kind of what the rationale was, because I don't understand who was bringing this or for what purpose it was brought, you know, especially without being brought to my knowledge.
That's on the list. We'll put that on the list. Senator Tomasoni. I think they one encompass same. But let's get that on the record again.
Madam Chair and members, if that's correct, the Senate has several articles for its ag policy language. That's the reason why when the reviser pulled together the side-by-side, they pulled in three separate repealer sections. But the sections that are repealed in both line up, so they're both repealing the same sections of statute. And if I can just note, members, there's also a same, similar, different document that should be in your binders. Mr. Knopf and I put this together. We've categorized and briefly summarized the provisions, the ag policy provisions that are the same and those that are different, along with page and section numbers, if that's helpful to members.
I assume we'll be dealing with that fairly soon. Patiently wait for you.
Yeah. He didn't want to change his guy's statute.
There you go. So, we're good, or?
Apparently, you took this one.
This is the new movie.
Yeah, right.
Just cover for him.
Just time?
Lots of institutional knowledge here.
Good time to put in. I believe we have finished the agricultural section unless there are questions that I missed. I don't see any, and so I think we can now start with the next department, if you would.
Madam Chair, members, if you go back to the spreadsheet, we'll now start on page 2 with the Pollution Control Agency, which would be the first agency in Article 3 of the side-by-side.
Just you go back in order.
The House and Senate bills were in different orders, so that's why the spreadsheets ended up in different orders here. So on page 2, the first change item you'll see is on line 16. The governor recommended changing how the EQB is currently funded. They currently receive $151,000 per year transfer from the Department of Administration. That was being changed, so it's a direct appropriation to EQB now. And the governor wanted to increase that to $312,000 of general fund and add $188,000 of environmental funds.
Just a moment. I think in the room it's rather noisy, and it's difficult for us to hear. Do you want to continue?
Yep. Madam Chair, as I was saying on line 16 and 17, and then actually on 29 as well, the governor had recommended a change of to the EQB, the Environmental Quality Board. They currently receive $151,000 a year of general fund that is transferred from the Department of Administration. The governor recommended discontinuing that transfer, directly appropriating it to the PCA for the EQB, and wanted to increase that to $312,000 per year and then add $188,000, which is on line 29 of the Environmental Fund. The House has that same appropriation. The Senate has not carried the extra funding, but has carried $151,000 that will be directly appropriated to the PCA, if I am correct on that one. Yep. And then the only other general fund change item was the house base adjustment, which is $24,000 in the first year and $49,000 the second year. Then once you move to the environmental fund, the governor proposed water program appropriation increase of $1.5 million per year. The House has that as well. The Senate has $500,000 per year, and it's only one time for the first biennium. And then the governor also had a wastewater lab quality assurance change item. It was $105,000 per year. Currently, I believe this is run through the Department of Health, and it's just transferring that authority over to PCA. And there is some fees associated with that that would currently have been collected by Department of Health, and now they'll be collected by PCA for those operations. And both the governor, the House, and the Senate all have that. There was air quality improvement change item the governor had recommended of $900,000 per year. The House carries that appropriation as well, and the Senate does not. There's air emission fee. It's a statutory increase, and that money is already there. It's just appropriating that. It's $165,000 the first year and $335,000 the second year. Governor, House, and Senate all have that. And the governor also recommended $1.5 million for air program up. I think it's listed air emission fees from previous increases, but it's for the air program, and it's $1.5 million per year, and all three bodies have that, the governor, the House, and the Senate. Then the next line, if you look at line 28, the Senate has $300,000 the first year of environmental fund money for mobile air monitoring equipment. And then the next line down, 29, I already mentioned the $188,000 for EQB. And then lines 30 and 31 was a governor's change item. It was a $600,000 appropriation to PCA, of which $499,000 gets transferred to the Department of Health as to investigate respiratory disease and mercury levels, I believe. And both the House, Senate, or the House, Senate, and governor all carry that language. And then in addition to that, the Senate has added $313,000 per year for biomonitoring of PFCs. I believe the House has language for that, but we haven't increased the funding for. We have the appropriation, but we haven't increased new money for that. And then once we get to line 33, there's a beverage container refund study. The Senate has $25,000 in the first year. I believe that's another situation where the House has $5,000 in the bill, but it isn't new money, so it doesn't show up on the spreadsheet. Line 34, the Senate has provided $300,000 per year for silica sand mining rulemaking. And then if you get to line 35, and then it corresponds to line 42 as well, the governor proposed a product stewardship plan. It included three different products: architectural paint, carpet, and primary batteries. The Senate is, and his was in the special revenue fund. The House carries that language for $165,000 per year. Down below, the Senate changed that to the environmental fund instead of the special revenue fund, and they are carrying the product stewardship plan for the architectural paint only. And then the last one in the environmental fund, line 36, the sanitary district formation, is fees. The PCA is allowed to charge fees for the creation of sanitary districts or formatting or boundary changes, I believe it is, and that money gets transferred to the Office of Administrative Hearings, and it's in all three versions, the governor, the House, and the Senate. Then the last one, or line 42, as I mentioned, this product stewardship plan, the House has all three components of that, as does the governor, and the Senate is reflected above in line 35. And then the last one would be line 43, silica sand mining oversight. The governor recommended roughly $1.5 million the first year and $1,896,000 the second year. The House has slightly different appropriations, and I believe the language is different too, but it's $1,422,000 the first year and $1,377,000 the second year. And the Senate does not have an appropriation for that. The PCA as a whole, the governor was, for general fund, was $624,000 above base. The House was $697,000 above base. And the Senate is $302,000 above base. And you can see on the very bottom of page two are the fees associated with some of those appropriations.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe senators could help out with on some of the provisions that were governor's budget ones but weren't carried forward. Are those in a different fund, or are they just not something that's in the Senate proposal?
Madam Chair and Senator Hansen, the couple items you might be pointing out is the first one would be water program operations. The governor and the House are at $1.5 million per year, and that's new environmental fund money. The Senate is just at $500,000 per year and makes it one time. And the Senate has language that ties it to permitting. The Senate, did hear the testimony from the governor and decided just to do a portion of it. The next one would be the air quality improvement initiative on line 25. From the governor of $900,000 per year, and the Senate did not go along with that initiative.
Madam Chair, I see some fees that aren't included. Is it because there's fees not included, or is it just the general fund target was spent on other things?
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, I think on fees we're pretty close. The only other fee that the piece that the House is carrying that the Senate is not is a little bit more fees on product stewardship, and that's just because you're doing more different products than we are. But as far as other fees in the bill, I mean, there's also the issue of silica sand mining. The fees from the House are actually in the tax bill, and the Senate has no fees for its silica sand mining. So on fees, at least in the PCA part of the bill, we're pretty close.
I think we want to go over then the language and PCA.
Yep.
Let's do that.
PCA or?
Madam Chair, members, I'm going to start at the Article 3 on the House side and Article 1 on the Senate side. R1 is just a roll-up of all the totals for the various funds, and obviously there'll be some number differences there. And then on R2, there's some number differences, and R3 number differences as well. And then we start with the PCA appropriations under subdivision 2. That's on the bottom of page R3. This would be the water appropriations. The first two riders on R4, there are some differences. The numbers are different, and then you'll notice for the water program operations, the Senate has it from the Environmental Fund, and the House has it from the General Fund, and they also have it as a one-time appropriation and specify that's for additional water program operations. The next two riders are virtually the same, except for on the House side, you'll see lines 46.27 through 46.34. There's a report required. And then on R5, the first two riders are identical for technical assistance in the Clean Water Partnership Program. And then the right around the bottom of the page for the SSTS program is virtually the same, except for another report on the House side, lines 47 through 30, 47.31 through 47.36. The House requires counties receiving a grant to report back and then makes future funds eligibility sort of contingent on producing that report. And then on page R6, on the top of that, the two riders there for the wastewater laboratories are identical. And then you'll see a House-only rider for $50,000 from the Environmental Fund. These are for grants to local units of government to deal with the impacts of the use of coal tar. And then there's a Senate-only rider that would require a report on using peat-based products to control oil spills. And on the bottom of R6, these are fairly similar. The Senate has a higher dollar amount, and then there's a carve-out. If you look on the bottom 8.16 through 8.18, there's a transfer to the Department of Health, with which the House does not have. On page R7, the riders there are identical on the top. Then we move into the subdivision 3 for air, and there's some technical and money differences, but otherwise the two riders on the bottom of R7 are identical. And if you go to page R8, this is for the air monitoring programs, and these are structured a little bit differently. You'll see on the House they have one rider for $125,000 from the Environmental Fund for air monitoring, and then on the House side they also have one, but at slightly more. And then they do have some language, if you look on lines 6.9 through 6.16, that's similar to language in a separate rider on the House side that requires them to give priority to areas where there's low-income Indigenous American Indians and communities of color. And then you'll see from lines 49.13 through 50.2, this is a rider that's similar, going for these localized monitoring efforts in the similar types of communities. It's just a little more specific on the House sides, and there's also a definition of environmental justice if you look on 49.30 through 50.2. And then on page R9, there's a House-only rider for $540 each, or $540,000 each year from the Environmental Fund for emission reduction activities. And then Subdivision 4 for the land section, there's just some technical differences. The riders on the bottom of that page are identical, as are the two on the top of page R10. Then we get to the Subdivision 5 for the environmental assistance and cross media. There's some, you know, number differences and some technical differences. And then you'll see the first substantive difference on the page, or on the bottom of page R10, regarding the SCORE grants. The House has slightly more money and then provides $200,000 each year for competitive grants, which the Senate does not have. On page R11, the top two riders are identical, and then there's a House-only rider on 52.3 through 52.8. This provides some money for environmental health risks, and a portion of which is transferred to the Department of Health.
Madam Chair, could I just enter in here just real quick? I just want to point out that this rider on the House side really does match up with the rider on page R6. Also, the Senate combined it all into one. We've got the same amount of money going for this in the riders, and except for the transfer to the Department of Health is different under both. But it really is. The Senate put it all into one rider, and you have it in two different places. I just want to make sure people understand that we do have the $600,000 per year from the Environmental Fund for this purpose. It's in the earlier rider that was discussed.
And so would you just review for folks that it's paying for three programs, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. and they would be?
Madam Chair, mercury, asthma, and then the PFCs. And so I think both sides have
the identical.
identical dollars. We just do it a little bit differently in how it did, in how it's accomplished.
Thank you, Madam. And then there's a Senate-only rider on R11 providing $200,000 for lots, which the House does not have. And then on the bottom of R11, there are some differences here for the House has a little bit more money, and then a portion of which is transferred to the Environmental Quality Board, and this is just for the operations of the Environmental Quality Board. On the top of page R12, the first rider is identical. This is for the sanitary districts that we saw. And then the next two riders are different. This is the silica sand appropriation. The House provides some more money, and then the money is for the EQB with various transferred to other entities for their roles. And then you'll see the Senate that their environmental, and this, and ours is from the special revenue fund, spending the fees that will be raised in the tax bill, and then the Senate has environmental fund. On R13, the rider on the top is the House has slightly less money, and then a different date for the report. This is for a report on looking at beverage containers and recycling programs. The Senate also has some additional money requiring that when they do prepare the report that they work in consultation with various stakeholders. The next rider is identical, and then there's a Senate-only rider for the e-waste program for $315 each year on the bottom of R13. And R14, the first rider there is identical.
Excuse me if you could.
We have to run up and vote one more time. This is final passage of a bill. So.
Okay. Tell the next bill.
Well, we're not going to be here much longer, but we'll wait.
Madam Chair, would you like me to start on Natural Resources Department? Or
I think we have a little
never mind.
Bit more here.
Still going, never mind.
Yes, language for PCA, too.
So. Thank you, Madam Chair. There's one more subdivision of PCA left, and we're on the bottom or part of R14. This is for administrative support. There's a House-only rider, which would require the PCA to submit its next budget in a manner that allows the legislature and public to understand it more clearly, and then also require the budget to be structured so that a significant portion of the revenues from the solid waste taxes are spent on solid waste activities. And then on the Senate side, there's a transfer of $46 million from the Environmental Fund to the Remediation Fund. And then that concludes PCA, and the DNR would start on the bottom of
Madam Chair, can I just make a comment on that? The Senate, the legislature has carried this rider like every year since the Remediation Fund was created. For some reason, the agency thinks they have the authority to transfer the money from the Environmental Fund to the Remediation Fund for the activities. I'd like somebody to point that out to me someday because I can't find it. I don't think it's there. But we've carried this rider every year or every other year. And so I just wanted to clarify that the Senate was just carrying the same rider we've carried every biennium since the Remediation Fund was
Perhaps we will give PCA the opportunity to point out any statutory authority they think they might have.
Thanks.
We have some PCA language, too.
Madam, do you want me to go through that? It might be a little clumsy since it's all sort of scattered throughout the article, but I'll do my best to sort of call it out.
I think it's helpful for us, if you can, to keep all of PCA together.
Sure. Well, then I will go to Article 4 on the House side and Article 2 on the Senate side. And I'll start with R1. I believe the first section on the Senate side has to do with the product stewardship program, providing some
trade. Would you, I'm sorry, is this Article 3 or say that again?
It's Article 4 on the House side, so it should Article be Article 4. Okay. 4 in the booklets.
Page.
R1. Okay. So it'd be the first section on R1 on the Senate side. This is a section related to the product stewardship program regarding trade secret information that the Senate has but the House does not. And then I'll need to skip ahead to find some additional PCA sections. I believe the first, the next section would be on R45, section 85 on the House side. This is from the PCA's policy bill. The real language is on the top of R46, and this allows the agency, the clean water funds that are used to leverage federal funds to be done through partnership agreements. And then on R46, the next section, both section 86 and Senate section 62, there's some technical differences here. And this is for the wastewater laboratory certification language that the PCA has requested this year, but there's only technical differences between the two. The next section on R47, section 87 on the House side and 63 on the Senate, this is another PCA, regarding PCA reporting, and it's the same. And then on the bottom of R48, this is the first of the product stewardship programs. This is the carpet one, and this is the House is carrying the carpet, and the Senate is not. And this continues through R55. Then on R55, you'll see section 89 on the House side and section 64 on the Senate side. This is the architectural paint product stewardship program. There are some technical differences, and then there's some substantive differences if you skip ahead to page R60. You'll see there's some differences on how they treat information on subdivision being on the top of R60. And then there's some differences with how the administrative fee would work, bottom of R60. And then on the top of R61, there's some differences. If you look at paragraph D on the post side, just how to treat the funding, and then there's some additional language on the Senate side for the same thing, but they're a little bit different there. And then on R61, section 90 on the House side, this is the primary battery product stewardship program that only the House is carrying. And this continues to R66. And then on R67, House Section 91 and Section 65 on the Senate side, this is reporting regarding the product stewardship programs, and there's just a difference because of the fact that the Senate doesn't carry all the programs. The next section, 92 on the House and 66 on the Senate, this is the same. This is some PCA reporting, as is Section 93 and 67. This is some PCA reporting changes as well, and they are identical. And then Section 68, this is a Senate-only provision on the closed landfill investment fund.
Madam Chair, that's just a technical to kind of, we're just cleaning up some of the old language on the transfer since those transfers occurred many years ago.
Then on Section 94 and Section 69, these are identical. This is the first of a few sections regarding the petroleum tank release program. This provides a modified version of a definition for corrective action. Section 95 is another related provision. and it's identical. This, this would allow the agency to acquire interest in real property for purposes of corrective actions. Identical. And then sections 96 and 71 on the bottom of R70. This is another section that's similar, but these are related to the petroleum tank release. But these are different, and you'll see the difference on R71, giving the Commissioner of Administration the ability of the to charge the agency for actual staff and other costs related to this disposal of property that it does require. And you'll see this on lines 62.25 through 62.26. And then section 97 and section 72 on the Senate side, this is they're identical, some more PCA reporting changes. And then section 98 and section 73 is another section related to the petroleum tank, and they are identical. And then section 99 and 77, this is the first of several sections regarding the EQB. And they are identical, all four of them. And this would just adjust the membership. And then section 100, it does the actual transfer from the staff from the Department of Administration to PCA, as does section 101 and section 79 on the Senate side. Then you'll see on R73, this is on section 102 on the House side and section 74 on the Senate side. This is the silica sand mining model standards and criteria. There are some technical and then some substantive differences. There's technical differences on 73, which I won't point out, but the main difference is on R74. The House has the EQB, the one developing these standards, whereas on the Senate side, you'll see that the PCA, the DNR, Health and Transportation would be leading this charge. There's also some language on the Senate side. If you look at 64.26 through 64.30, that requires the criteria to be different based on geographical areas of the state. Then on R75, there's some additional changes. You'll see in Subdivision 3, the technical assistance team makeup is different. The House specifies that there would be 7 members. And then there's also some language on the Senate side that would prohibit the technical assistance team from imposing a fee. You'll see that at 65.36 and 66.1. And then on the TARP of R76, on the House side, you'll notice the local unit of government is given authority to assess project proposers for costs. And then Section 75 is a Senate's only section regarding environmental review for silica sand projects. And then on on the bottom of R76, Section 103 and Section 76, there's just a minor difference between the library. The House has doesn't specify what type of library, and if you look on the Senate side, they specify that the library would be an online library on 67.8. Section R77... page R77, section 104 would require EAWs to assess water resources as part of the EAW when they would require a water appropriation permit. I don't know if that's really PCA related. But. And the next section would be DNR. The next PCA-related section that I can find would be Section 106 on R85 and Senate Section 84, and these are identical. This is another reporting-related request of the PCA will eliminate a report. The next section would be on the bottom of R86, section 109 on the House side. This would require the PCA to use certain criteria when evaluating wastewater treatment systems, giving priority to those that have reused wastewater. The next related section would be on R88. The first paragraph there on for section 116 on the House side and section 90 on the Senate side requires the PCA to adopt rules pertaining the control of particulate emissions for silica sand mines. There is a difference. The House requires the commissioner to consider similar rules in the have been adopted in Wisconsin, and the Senate does not have that. And then there's a section on the bottom of R88, which would require rulemaking regarding fugitive emissions.
Madam Chair, I think if we go back to 77.23 on R88 on the Senate side, there's also, since the EQB is part of PCA now, I think this would be considered part of PCA to go back and by August 1st of 2013 review and adopt a criteria for silica sand as it applies, the rules as it applies to silica sand. So we do have that additional item on the Senate side related to silica sand.
And then on R89, section 91 on the House side, or Senate side, is another silica sand related section that would put a 1-year interim ordinance or renew expired ordinance prohibiting new or expanded sand, silica sand operations. And then the repealers of the rules that are being repealed, these would be PCA-related rules, and I believe all of these are identical.
Sanitary district.
Okay.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Madam Chair? If you'd like, we could also do the sanitary districts article since it's sort of PCA related. It's moving from PCA to the off, and it will take just a few seconds.
How long is a few seconds?
It'll probably take maybe a minute, 60
right.
seconds.
Okay.
Okay. And this would be Article 5 on the House side and Article 9 on the Senate side. And what this article does would transfer sort of oversight of the sanitary district process from PCA to the Office of Administrative Hearings. And there are only two differences, one technical and one substantive. And I believe the substantive one is on R4. The Senate has an additional subdivision 9 on the bottom. Mine's 180 through 8013 through 18017 or 20.
You did. Oh, that was seconds. That was really good. So we're set up for convening at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning and go through the rest of the side-by-sides, and I think that's probably all we'll do for this week and then not meet on the weekend and so everybody can have the weekend off. That sounds like a good idea. Senator Westrom?
I think we have finance in the Senate at 8:30. Is that...
And we'll be running back and forth probably.
Back and forth, okay.
Not too far away, so.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Sparks?
Is it tradition for the House to bring donuts?
It is, yes. especially in
when the Senate.
Especially in the, when they come to the Senate to visit our Senate. Okay.
So
8 a.m. tomorrow?
8 a.m. tomorrow. Thanks, members.
Madam Chair? Oh, should we leave everything right here then?
I believe.
Yeah, I think we're going to have this room for.
Yes, we are
okay,
here
very
for
good.
The duration.
Okay. All right. Big art tab, yes, you do.